Chapter 14. Our ship emerged from its next passage, surrounded by a diffuse mist of icy dust, the remains of ancient cometary material enveloping the hereditary system of the Sanxiom. Once this cloud had been much denser. The Sanxiom had depleted it to supply their early starships with fuel. Now the last of the clouds served to mask our presence and allow the didact to observe the inner system as best he could. The sensor images were impressive and strange. I had never seen a quarantined stellar system before. Such capabilities were rarely displayed to young builders. A planetary system is mostly empty, even the greatest of worlds being lost in the immensity of billions of kilometers of space. Like their former human allies, the Sanxiom had evolved on a water-rich world not far from a yellow star, within a temperate zone that allowed only a narrow range of weather. Now, however, 10,000 years after their defeat, the system was surrounded by trillions of vigilants that constantly wove in and out of space-time, sometimes so rapidly that they seemed to shape a solid sphere. This sphere extended to a distance of 400 million kilometers from the star, and thus did not encompass four impressive gas giants whose orbits lay beyond that limit. Several of the many moons orbiting those gas giants provided platforms for semi-automated maintenance stations, some of them populated by the builder's servant tools known as Huragak. Huragak are more tools than organisms, and are rarely accorded personhood among forerunners. Their pride derives from their service, and, to a certain extent, their buoyancy in whatever supporting atmosphere they find themselves. They enjoy being confined by gravitation or centrifugal forces and staying within a meter of a solid surface. I found them boring whenever I encountered them, which was never in polite society. Their anaerobic metabolism and those gas bladders. The didact kept his sensor sweep passive for the moment, merely listening. Forerunner communications are never transmitted along electromagnetic wavelengths, but the Sanxiom had given up all other methods, and so he could study what was leaking through the quarantine boundaries. His ancilla translated.
"It's quiet," he said. "I hear little other than microwave pulses and transpositive signaling."
Stepping through the virtual display, calling up whatever information was being gleaned by the sensors across the system, it took the didact several minutes to locate the lone warrior servant outpost in the system, orbiting just within the inner boundary of the quarantine.
"They retired the deep reverence here," he murmured.
A magnified image appeared and was enhanced by specifications and other data. The deep reverence was an impressive fortress-class vessel, 50 kilometers in length, its incept date before the human Sanxiom War.
"I apprenticed on her when I was a cadet. A grand old hulk. These quarantine worlds are terrible duty. I almost hope my friends are no longer in service. I suspect they caught blowback from my own troubles. I suspect they were punished."
He waved off the display.
"We have to break cover and move in closer. It's a risk, but I need to understand more, and I need all the help I can get."
"But we tried."
"There's one more way. Your patrimony is buried deep, inaccessible to a manipular. To absorb my knowledge, you must be able to access your patrimony and the full richness of the domain. To do that, you'll have to expand your capabilities. If you are willing. If you volunteer."
"You mean mutate to a higher rate?"
"As close an approximation as we can manage out here,"
the didact said.
"It's called a brevet mutation. It's not common, but it is within the warrior servant code. This ship is capable of supporting such a ceremony. Lacking that, I cannot supply you with my knowledge, and you cannot access what your ancestors stored within you, or access the domain which supplements all."
"I'm supposed to unlock my patrimony with my father's assistance."
"Traditionally, that's true. But since I'm the only forerunner around, and we're unlikely to find any builders nearby..."
He did not need to lay out the details. I was being asked to mutate and grow without my family or even my rate being present to assist. He would be my mentor, and that meant I would receive the Didax genetic imprint. I'd mutate to a warrior servant, I said.
At least in part. You could always petition for a correction, a reversion, once you return to your family.
I've never heard of such a thing. I had heard of failed mutations, of individuals hidden in special family enclaves and restricted to menial tasks. Not an attractive prospect.
It is a choice.
Under the circumstances, it didn't feel like a choice. What would it feel like? I asked.
All mutation is difficult. Brevet mutations are particularly unpleasant.
Is it dangerous?
We will have to exercise caution. But once we've succeeded, we can venture down and see what the situation is on the Deep Reverence.
I haven't volunteered, I reminded him.
No,
he said.
But the librarian has always been a great judge of character.